Amen. Have a seat. Good morning, everyone. I only got one announcement today. Men's Night Out is this Friday. That's an M. Men's Night Out for all you men. This coming Friday, 7 o'clock to midnight, we will be gathering together. Great slide. Don't you like that? Because sometimes it just has to be the bros. Okay, so $5 will get you in. Sign up on the Campus Ministry website, and you're all set. Women's Night Out next Friday. Lauren will tell you more about that. Hey, how many of you know Chris Boll? How many people know Chris Boll? I love it. Chris is the Associate Director of Student Life here at Hope College. And I'm going to introduce Chris with four numbers, 8, 6, 4, and 1. 8, the number of years he's been married to Amanda. 6, the number of years he's worked at Hope College. 4, for the age of his oldest son, August. And 1, for his other son, Harrison. Cool. 8, 6, 4, 1. And now, here he is. So would you welcome Chris Boll to the pulpit?
All right. I was told if you actually speak into the crowd that you're nervous, that will actually help you be less nervous. So I'm just going to speak that out right now and give myself a few seconds to breathe. Thank you for having me today. Campus Ministries folks are some of my favorite people on this campus, and I'm grateful to Paul and Trig and the rest of the crew for having me. I'll get right into it. My parents are divorced. Every other weekend when I was a kid, I would go to my dad's house to do my official visitation session with him and my stepmom. When I was little, I was obsessed with collecting basketball cards. It's hard for me to describe how many of these basketball cards that I had. I was the envy of all of the other kids at school. It was one of the few things that I had a leg up on with my peers. Most of these cards came from my stepmom. Every time I would go to their house for a visit, she would give me basketball cards. At first, they'd give me a pack or two. After a few months, it turned into 3 or 4 packs. And after a year or so, she would give me, I'm not kidding you, an entire box of basketball cards. For those of you unfamiliar with the basketball card world, these boxes cost a lot of money, and my friends thought I was awesome for it. But there's a twist with these cards. One Friday night, my stepmom never came home. It was bizarre, and I could tell my dad was nervous. There was just no sign of her. And then the phone rang. He went into the other room, and when he eventually came back, my dad said she was in a car accident, and he had to go get her from the police station to bring her home. The next morning, though, her car was parked in the garage with no visible damage. It was wild, and I was old enough to know that this wasn't quite normal. A few weeks later, my grandmother sat me down to tell me the truth of what actually happened that night, and it blew my mind. I found out that on that fateful Friday evening, my stepmom had been arrested for shoplifting basketball cards. Oh my goodness, all of my basketball cards were dirty. They were all stolen. Now, I think back on this incident from my childhood a lot. And a lot of the times I still laugh about it because it's wild. But I also think it's wonderfully indicative of my life in the church today. Go with me here. When I was a kid, I looked like everyone else. I played the part well, and it was a privilege that I possessed. But I wasn't quite the same. I spent day after day unconsciously trying to prove that I was just like everyone else. And every day, I would go home remembering that I was going home to a single mother who owned a tavern. To a single mom who loved me, but to a single mom who made less than $20,000 a year. And to a home where we couldn't afford most of the other things that all of my friends could afford. And yet, I had these basketball cards. They were the key to me feeling like I was a part of the majority system, even though the whole gig was a giant fraud. I grew up poor. Does that describe any of you? What a weird way to say this, but I felt that I needed to confess it to you. That's often how I feel. I had to get it out there. I know it already, and it's always on my mind still. And even though you can't tell by looking at me, it's a fact that still sits with me. I grew up poor. Sometimes it still hurts to say, and almost always, I can still remember the way being poor kept me from being a part of the American church. Proverbs 14, verses 20 through 21, says, "The poor are despised even by their neighbors, while the rich have many friends. It is a sin to belittle one's neighbor. Blessed are those who help the poor." When I was 8 years old, a friend from school invited me to church. I thought the kid was cool, so I went. I remember how nervous I was going with him. Perhaps some of you feel the same way being in this room right now. It's a feeling you can't understand unless you have experienced it yourself. And that nervousness was not unfounded. I remember feeling underdressed at this church. I remember being embarrassed because I smelled like the smoke from my mother's cigarettes. I remember thinking everyone at this church looked so good. And I remember that they didn't look like my single mom. Or they didn't look like my dad, who is a taxidermist. In this moment, I realized I didn't belong in the American church. Or so I thought. The intersection of socioeconomic status and my faith is a big deal to me. It's what still frames my faith to this day, and it's what drives me to talk about my faith in a way that isn't just for the wealthy. And I think the American church can do a pretty crappy job at reinforcing that faith and wealth always go hand in hand. Sometimes I still feel like a fraud in the Christian community, especially when I look in the church parking lots that are filled with giant SUVs and luxury cars. It reaffirms to me that I don't belong. I still feel uncomfortable when Christianity is talked about in the same breath as a golfing vacation. I remember the time as an adult I heard a sermon analogy that equated the Christian walk to a 10-day yachting trip. I felt like a fraud in that place, like I had somehow tricked my way inside of that church. Or I remember that I once led worship years ago from a keyboard rig that cost over $10,000. The whole time I played that rig of keys, I couldn't help but think how this thing cost about half of what my mom made in an entire year. So why do I tell this story? It's not to make those of you who grew up with money feel bad. Not at all. In fact, if that is you, if you did grow up with wealth, you didn't choose your economic lot in life any more than I chose mine. Your background is not your fault. I tell this story, however, to first tell those of you in this room who feel like frauds because of your socioeconomic status that you belong. You are loved by God, and you are a part of the kingdom of God, and there's a place for you in His arms and the American church. For those of you who did grow up with a decent amount of wealth, you're good. I'm not mad at you for being rich or middle class. I love you, and God loves you too. But there are things you can do to relieve the burden that so many of us who grew up poor feel every single day. Sometimes it's the small things, like not looking at your material possessions and proclaiming, "I'm blessed." While you are blessed, the coupling of being blessed and material goods might imply that others who don't have all of those things are not blessed. Do you see how a small language shift can invite others into the fold of the American church? For those of you who grew up with the sometimes invisible cloak of poverty, bless the Lord, there is nothing to be shameful of. There are innumerable moments where I am thankful for the way I was raised, for I would not be the same person I am today without my background. I am keenly aware that God uses any background to bring glory to His kingdom. And for me, to shame myself or my family wouldn't honor Him. Even still, it's critical for me to name how growing up poor made it difficult for me to feel like I was a part of the church. The crazy thing is, I was often able to fake it as a white male in the church. It came just a bit easier for me to maneuver. Our relationship with the church as an institution is incredibly complicated, and your own background, race, class, sex, sexual orientation, physical ability, or education level can affect how you interact with the institution of the church. But the truth of Christ's love for each of us, regardless of that background, is unchanging. And I believe we experience the love of Christ best when in a community of faith. I still believe, even in our American context, that it is critical to belong to a local congregation. Bruce did one last song today, so there's something I did want to share that wasn't in my notes that I did want to implore to all of you. As someone who, so I have extra time, that's why I'm able to do this. Thank you. 8 minutes is really hard to craft a speech around. It's really difficult to do that. I hear so many students talk about, well, I've got the gathering in chapel, I don't need to go to church. And gathering in chapel are great, and I encourage all Hope students to go to them, but they also are no substitute for your local church. As someone who struggled to feel like I was a part of the church, and it was really hard for me to kind of break in, the local church played a really pivotal role in my life, despite that. And I know some of you in this room have more obstacles than I did trying to fit into the American church, but I still would implore you to find that place. To end this, may this prayer from Ephesians cover all of us, regardless of what our economic background or racial background is. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You are excused.